gentlemen, shut it right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
To the show, folks. Back in the studio we are, and you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath, and Nicholas Cicero, who is on the bridge. We're coming to you tonight, and you can join the action by simply calling us at 407-774-8255. Got a lot to talk about tonight. Of course, today is and tonight, the Democratic and Republican primary in New York is going on. Now, the polls don't close until 9 o'clock there, so we don't really have any idea on what's going on other than the polls leading up to today. But we're going to be talking about that. And Trump's come up with a nickname for Hillary. I think it's going to stick. It's Crooked Hillary. Did you hear that one? Crooked Hillary?
I don't know if that's nasty enough, though. I mean, I've heard it. But it
summarizes pretty much everything.
No,
though,
I know.
Right?
It is a good summary of her history. Yeah. But I would like... That's going to be one of our contests down the road because
right.
I think there's some more nastier names we can derive for her.
Speaking of contests, we got a couple of contests coming up we'll be talking about later on, our regular Thursday contest and a taco-eating contest.
Yummy.
And we got a lot of news to talk about today. But real quick, I just want to make a couple of remarks about last night's debate. Thank you, folks, for listening. We got a lot of responses. I agree with most of you. The folks at UCF were very accommodating. Once again, I want to thank them and the UCF College Republicans, Matthew and Elaine and the whole crowd. And I want to thank the two candidates that were there. And real quick note about the other candidates. They all were invited. Two of the candidates are congressmen here in the state of Florida. One is Congressman Jolly. The other is Congressman DeSantis, Ron DeSantis. And they both happened to be in Washington, D.C. at the time, so they couldn't be there for that reason. The lieutenant governor, who is also running for this seat, Senate seat, was on his way back from Israel and couldn't participate in the debate. The others who weren't there, absent without leave, AWOL. So, but the two who showed up gave it their best, and the election process is a process about finding those who you do want to vote for and then the others. So, hopefully everybody got something out of yesterday's debate, and hopefully these guys found their place. We're going to try to do this again as we go further, but we had to do it this week because we worked around. We were trying to work around everybody's schedule. You know what it's like trying to get all these people in one place at one time. And we had to do it this week, though, because next week the semester is over at UCF. So the opportunity would have been gone. So we did it, and I'm proud of everybody and how they performed. And we look forward to doing more of those things. And all the people like Nicholas Cicero and Joe Ferrero and Pete Paquette back here at the station, all just great, tremendous to support for us while we were out there. Okay, so moving on. I saw where your man Rex endorsed our man Don.
Well, I enjoy getting a view.
Rex
of,
Reed?
Right, they had their, Rex Ryan.
Ryan it is, that's right.
And remember, now he was a coach of the Jets too, so he has a big background in New York, and he's the Bills coach right now.
Yep.
And hopefully he'll be good, who knows.
Now, do you know Rex Ryan?
I have met him. He's a flamboyant personality, I will tell you this. He's sort of like, in his own way, the Trump of football. You know, he'll say anything at any time. He'll like to irritate the press. You know, he's a guy that, from my understanding, he has, horns on his car and stuff. He's just, sort of a nutty guy. And this was probably a match made in heaven in the introduction. And as you know, the crowd, if you saw any of it last night, the crowd was absolutely gigantic in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And actually, it was well-maintained. It looked like the protesters were, like, out of air, meaning you know, there was no enthusiasm on the protester spot.
Yeah, right.
But what happened was, this
they
morning,
weren't getting paid enough.
Yeah, I guess not. They weren't getting $15 an hour.
They were getting paid enough to show up, but not to show enthusiasm.
Yeah,
right?
But one of my favorite commentators, which I always love these people, have initials in the middle of their names, right? Stephen A. Smith. And I could actually give him a name for A if he needs it. But
okay.
Yeah, but I won't. You know what I mean? But Stephen came out this morning, and he really was repulsed by Rex Ryan. He felt that Ryan had no business introducing Trump at a rally, and he may have offended someone in the Bill's locker room.
That's what Smith said.
That's
about
what
Ryan?
That's what Smith said. But, hey, Stephen, do you ever – a couple things. Do you realize they're the players, he's the head coach – he controls whether you stay on the team or you don't, idiot. But number two, who do you think, or who are you inferring that he might have offended, right? I think I know, but let me help you out. Your union, which is made up of 1,700 players, the majority which are black, guess what? They're left-leaning, liberal organization that supports union activity and the Democratic Party. So you have a problem? And then yet I see you running around at union events and stuff. You do have a problem, buddy. You're a typical of a one-sided individual, and you're supposed to be neutral, aren't you? And but it was a and boy, he got a lot of flack from that, you know, from the media because
who did?
Meaning Stephen A. Smith,
not Rex Ryan,
not Rex. Well, they'll be for both sides, you know. I'm sure. Rex got whacked, but the Buffalo people love him. They're not going to wax him. And it's going to be, you know, the New York people might. But remember, down in New York, he was the Jets head coach. He left, so Jets people don't love him. So he would get some from the New York media. But
well, there's New York City, and then there's New York, right?
Right. You are right. I mean, if you extracted it out, yeah, it's a whole different group of people.
Yeah, I heard some demographics today that in the New York City and the boroughs,
right,
something like 75% of the votes for both Hillary and Bernie will come from those areas. And
right,
something like 75% of the Republicans will come from the not those areas that aren't there.
Right.
Right? The other areas in New York.
I mean, you look at Buffalo, and Buffalo really is a town that I think he'll do well because Buffalo has regenerated itself, you know, the water side and everything. They've built all some beautiful condominiums and shopping and everything, and they've done a pretty good job. But they have lost a lot of industry, you know. So it's a town that has been depleted, which Trump is a big, you know, he makes it very clear. We all know what he wants. So I think he'll carry that very well. But again, as you say, Chris, New York's a different animal, meaning New York City.
Yeah.
Different animal.
Well, the primary is on as we speak. It is a closed primary, which is sort of left the Trump's family in a bit of an embarrassing spot. I guess most of, if not all of you, have heard that his daughter Ivanka and his son Eric can't vote because they had not changed their registration in time. Now, remember, we talked about this in the state of Florida here where we had a closed primary. But here in the state of Florida, you had up until 30 days ahead of the actual voting day itself to change your registration. So in other words, you could change it all the way up until a month ahead of time. For New York, the deadline was October. You would have had to change your registration back in October to vote today. Now, that's still no excuse because they both knew the old man was running. Maybe they didn't think he was going to get this far. I don't know. Perhaps it didn't dawn on them, but this is just another one of the, you know, the quirks of these primary processes. Ultimately, no excuse for the kids, but not like he's going to need those two votes tonight. He's going to win huge.
Chris,
in New
were you
York
aware
tonight.
Though that Ben Carson's name was on the ballot?
It still is in many places.
It is.
Yeah, because it depends on how early they have early voting. And by the way, in New York, they do not have early voting, and how early they actually print the ballots. They may have printed those ballots a long time ago, you know. But that was a little quirk, by the way, of this situation that played out in Wyoming over the weekend that I pointed out on the show Sunday night. And that was, this is how you know what went on in Wyoming had a little bit of a let's just say, taint to it, because not that Cruz won the overwhelming majority of those delegates at a convention, but that Marco Rubio came away with a delegate. I mean, these are people who they were doing this Sunday, right?
Right.
Marco Rubio ain't in this thing. So something screwy was going on out there. And by the way, just a quick side note. I've noted on this show several times at least how the caucus system is meant to discourage turnout. Okay? In other words, it's meant to not get a lot of people to be involved in the process.
A few want to make the decisions.
Well,
right?
And then you have the convention process, which we saw work out in Colorado and Wyoming, where it narrows that down even more. And bless his heart, God bless Ted Cruz for going around saying, you know, in these last five states where I've overwhelmingly won, I've gotten 1.3 million voters. What he doesn't tell you is that there's about 3 or 4 or 5 million voters out there who didn't get a chance to vote because it was a process that was too convoluted and eliminated them from the beginning. So, you know, but to get back to New York, the polls close at 9 o'clock tonight. So, as I said earlier, we won't have any kind of results until then. But the polls going into tonight's or today's primary up there showed Trump overwhelmingly in the lead.
But
we'll
Chris,
talk about
what I
those
do
in
wonder
a minute.
About how many of the population voting, how many do you think actually have an opportunity to vote for Ben Carson? The reason I say that, remember how important 50% is, right?
Yeah.
If Ben Carson were to take what I call default votes, how about if he takes, if he ends up at 49.8 and Ben Carson has 3%?
I don't know that Ben Carson could do a thing about it. I don't think he could do a thing about it. It's not like they are delegates that he could.
Right, I'm just saying.
Yeah, there would not be nothing he could do about it.
But you would think that the ballot should have been cleansed of this. And I would assume that Trump and all them knew this. I have to make that assumption. If they did, then okay.
It is New York, after all.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. All right, Crooked Hillary, get down now. Welcome back to the show, folks. That is Hillary you hear arfing there. All right, you are listening to the American Adversaries. Thank you for being out there. Yeah, Crooked Hillary is the moniker that, if you will, that Trump has tagged Hillary with. You know, he had, of course, there was, what was it, low energy
Jeb, right.
Little Marco,
Lion Ted,
right, with an apostrophe,
right.
And now it's Crooked Hillary. And once again, I think it's a good one for her because it's
a good summation.
It is, and it stays out of the gender stuff, right? It's all about character and
it does bring the
lack of it.
Right, it brings the bad thoughts forward,
exactly.
Which is just what I want. Because that's exactly what she is, as we both know.
And
I was thinking maybe Shady Side Hillary or something like that.
But see, Crooked incorporates
that. Crooked, straightforward. I like it.
Crooked incorporates all, you know, remember when old Nixon said, I am not a crook.
Right. Right.
So Crooked Hillary, I think it sticks. All right. It looks like Trump is going to stick it tonight. In other words, going to win big, huge, so to speak. He is the latest average of polls. He's up 33 in New York. And he's going to win the overall vote. The question now is how many of the individual congressional districts will he win? I've seen several different polls, and, of course, they vary. Some show him winning as few as about 60 of those. Some show him winning more like 70 or more of those. My guess, and this is just a guess, is that he'll come away with between 85 and 90 delegates tonight. That would be a good night for him.
Yeah, that would be very good.
A great night for him would be 91 or above. There are 95 at stake. An average night would be 75 to 80. Below 75 would not be a good night for Trump. The race that may be more interesting to watch in terms of the overall numbers will be who will come in second. Now, Having said that, Nick Lo Cicero has put up a poll question today. Which, Nick?
Yeah, well, we're asking which GOP candidate will come in second tonight in New York. And right now our leader in the poll is John Kasich with 66% of the vote. Trump and Cruz splitting the other third of the vote, 16-16 there.
So, Trump? Actually, I mean, some people think Trump's going to come in second. Well, okay, that's it.
Another Trump haters just, you know, coming across listening. Yeah.
That's tonight's poll question. We'll give you another update later on, and, of course, the final results at the end of tonight's show. And the only way to participate in the poll question, of course, is to have the app in your smart device, the WORL-FM-AM app, which you can find perhaps through your app store, or just go to am660theanswer.com and just download it right there.
Or if you have an Android device and you're having problems finding it, because we're still working on that, finding it in the Google Play Store, you call me. We just had a call tonight from somebody, and I just emailed them the direct link to download the app. So if you're having problems, give me a call. I can help you out.
There you go. Chris, he's the answer, man.
Yeah, the other thing is on Kasich, right? He didn't do that well in Florida. We know that, right?
Right.
And he's not going to do that well in New York. We know that.
He may come in second.
Well, second, but that's still, you know, at what, 25%? And then we go to California where he's not going to do that well. How would he ever, ever win?
He's not.
That's three states right there that mean a lot.
Yeah, but he's not there to win.
I know, but I'm just saying.
He's there playing two roles. He's playing the role of the spoiler for the establishment. And for him, he's playing the little kingmaker, where he can either, in his delusions of grandeur, he thinks once the establishment disposes of Trump and Cruz that he'll be their go-to guy. No, if they go as far as to do that, they'll dump him too.
Maybe him and Bernie will go third party.
Maybe. He also, however, he wants to collect some more delegates so that he may be the guy that Cruz or Trump has to come to and beg for delegates.
That would be awful hard if you were Trump and Cruz to go up to him and beg for delegates.
And he's going to have to collect quite a few more delegates for
really
it to be worth
begging,
either
yeah.
one of them's while to do it.
Yeah.
He will be sort of out there in no man's land where he's got too many or not, or too few, one or the other. Too many to bother to that he thinks he's too big for his britches, or too few to matter, right? So, you know, but nonetheless, he's got every right to stay in this thing as long as he can. If he comes in second tonight, there won't be much more pressure than there already has been for him to get out of the race. If he comes in third, the calls for him to get out of the race will become much more frequent and loud.
But let's say Trump goes over 60. Now, I'm making a
pretty
big assumption.
That's a possibility.
But if he goes over 60 and these two guys are at 21, 19, whatever, right? You know, there's just no chance other than to mess Trump up.
Well, that's
and to take him into the convention.
We're pretty much already at that stage.
Yeah.
There pretty much already is no chance for anyone but Trump. After tonight, it will be official. If Trump gets 80 or more, it's pretty well mathematically impossible at that point for Cruz to get it. And then after you have next week, a week from today, you have five states where Trump's again going to do very, very well. Everybody recognizes this. Then Cruz will be absolutely, without a doubt, mathematically, it will be impossible for him to get the 1237 on the first ballot. In other words, going into the convention. But what they can both still do, and their main goal right now, and has been for some time, is to prevent Trump from getting the nomination. Now, in Cruz's case, he thinks that he's put together enough of delegates that he'll be able to win it on the second or maybe the third ballot. Because of the rules, some of the Trump's delegates won't be freed up until after the second ballot. But the further it goes, the worse it will become for Cruz. And the more bold I think the party will be to do something else. But make no mistake, they don't want either one of these guys. And, you know, Cruz was asked this morning, I think it was Good Morning America, one of those shows, would he accept if Trump were to offer him the VP spot? And on the one hand, he gave what the answer you would expect, no way, and you know where I'm going to do anything like that. But then, of course, he went on to tweak Trump's nose. And then later on, in an interview evidently with Sean Hannity, where they kind of got into it a little bit, Hannity was a little frustrated that Cruz wouldn't answer a question he was asking about the delegate process, that Cruz was blowing him off, he's made it clear that, as he said, his intention is to unite first the Republican Party and then the nation. And I thought to myself, you ain't going to be able to do that, my friend.
Yeah,
not the way you're treating the Trumpsters and the Trumplicans and the Trump crowd and the Trump man himself. It shows a degree of, on the one hand, I want to say pompousness and self-righteousness, and on the other hand, I want to say pettiness. You know, he doesn't need to play that game. He could be bigger. He could be a bigger man than that.
Maybe after tonight, Chris, that you're going to have to change your bumper sticker from Cruising with Cruz to Cruising Home with Cruz. We'll see.
We'll see.
Boy, if he were to break through 60, though, boy, would that put power and momentum behind him.
Yeah, he's going to come out tonight probably smelling pretty good.
Of course I'd win.
All right, and we're back. Thanks for listening to us tonight, folks. 407-774-8255 is the number. And we're talking about this New York primary, which is going on literally as we speak. It is a closed primary, no early voting. And the voting will continue until 9 p.m. Eastern time tonight. So we won't have any real idea until then. Of course, we'll go over the results tomorrow. We'll know exactly how big Trump won and Hillary. It's pretty much the same thing on her side. The latest polls show her comfortably in the lead. The Real Clear Politics average shows her at 53, Sanders at 41, and she'll come away with whether she wins or loses, she'll come away with the lion's share of delegates. That's what we found out on the Democrat side, right? It doesn't matter whether she wins or loses. She always seems to come away with more delegates and
somehow, significantly
more.
Right.
And so she'll definitely come out of this tonight. And then it'll be interesting to see, because then the calls, obviously, from her supporters will begin to get more loud and frequent that Sanders should get out of this thing. And, of course, he has no intention whatsoever to get out, and he can still raise money hand over fist. So there's no need for him to worry about having to get out, other than that there will be those. And by the way, he has nothing to lose. I mean, he has everything to gain to stay in, absolutely nothing to lose. The guy's 74 years old. You know, if he loses here, people will still pat him on the back. He'll still be a hero. Nothing to lose.
He's not going to be around much longer anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
checking out. So
he can stay in
this
thing.
Have a good trip.
I mean, there's no political price to pay.
Right.
You know, like there is.
Like Cruz. He could pay a big price, buddy.
That's where I was going to go.
Big price.
He's got everything to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand if somebody asks you at a town hall, or, you know, right when you're in the midst of the primary season, would you be willing, and you're running for the presidential nomination, would you be willing to be on the vice president's part of the other ticket for another guy? Obviously, you don't say yes. You say no. But you don't have to do it in a condescending way. And then use it once again to talk about how, you know, a Trump presidency would be a train wreck and a disaster.
Particularly when he's a billionaire, that someday you may be coming back to him for some help politically or whatever.
And that Trump doesn't have this highly detailed plan.
Yeah,
you see, anymore, a politician with a highly detailed plan should be looked at suspiciously. All right.
Yeah, because the more complicated it is, we know no one understands it. And to me, it sometimes gets across the thought that they don't even know what they're talking about. How about that?
And then there are the other two things. One is most likely it'll be what they call DOA.
Yeah, right.
When he actually goes to Congress and tries to do something about it. So he'll have to do something, which, by the way, Cruz admitted that he would do the other day. Now I don't know if you remember, but back when Trump for a while was saying, you know, I'll negotiate with anybody or something like that.
Right.
Guess who said he'd do that this weekend?
Tedster?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he said he'd make deals with Democrats.
Yeah, and he quoted Ronald Reagan. He said Ronald Reagan said that if you can get a half loaf, get the half loaf and then come back for more. And that's what I would do. So, yeah, Ted Cruz would negotiate with Pelosi?
Harry Reid?
Well, Reid will be gone.
Oh, yeah, that's
but
right.
But he would negotiate with Schumer?
Oh, God.
Well, according to him, he would. Yeah. And, oh, by the way, when he was asked, you know, you say you're an outsider and you're not playing this inside game and all this. Okay. Well, why is it then that Hillary Clinton gets the most money from Wall Street, but you get the second most, over $20 million. Are they going to have any sway? Oh, no. I'll take anybody's money. And he said that. I'll take anybody's money, but they're not going to have any sway over me or anything like that. Now, if you are truly a man of principle, will you take, quote unquote, anybody's money? My dad used to have a saying. He called it blood money. And blood money was any money that was ill-gotten gains, mm-hmm. right? Whether it was you sold a bicycle for too much money, or you robbed somebody, or whatever. You will take anybody's money? Maybe that was just a slip of the tongue, and he didn't really mean it. But it was made to excuse him taking money from huge money contributors, the same ones that were like Trump, right, and who expect something for their money. But no, just like Hillary says, no, they're not going to get anything for their money.
Yeah, how about that plate? What is $353,000 for Hillary's
Cloonies.
Fundraiser out the Cloonies?
Yeah.
Then if you just are in the audience, it's like $33,500. They netted over $15 million.
Yeah.
And she said it went to their DNC, but it really didn't. It went to another sector of it, which most of it funnels back into Hillary.
Yep.
Now, you know, again, with the name Crooked Hillary, her explanations are never exact.
That's
they're never
it.
Detailed. And this is how this lady has run the system for the last 25, 30 years. And, I sit there and I just don't envision how anyone, again, could vote for this woman. She is so tainted. I mean, what was that character I talked about? You remember Pigpen that had the cloud around him all the time?
Charlie Brown Peanuts, yeah.
Hillary always has a cloud on everything she does, which is brought on by her, not by the people that hate her.
She is
the creator. Her name really might be Pigpen instead of Crooked Hillary.
It's Crooked Hillary.
I know. Well, I'm going to send Pigpen over to Trump and see if he'll go for that one.
The cloud of noxious
I know. There's
fumes.
Always a cloud by this lady. She might be the guy dancing at the stars. You know what his problem was?
No.
Gas came out all the time.
Oh, whoops.
That was fun.
I knew there was a reason I didn't watch that show. All right. Anyway, you know, there's being graceful, and then there's being petty. And if you're trying to unite a party, you take the former approach and not the latter approach. No, and part of politics, by the way, folks, and Ted Cruz knows this as well as anybody, maybe better. Part of politics is making nice with people who you hate their guts. Right? That is what politics, that's why a lot of people can't stand politics. That's why a lot of people can't stand the fundraising, because they have to go ask for money from people whom they hate their guts. Now, you see, that's one reason why the Clintons are pretty good.
Because they're two-faced.
Well, they have no problem taking money from people and begging for money from people mm-hmm. whom they hate their guts. Because the way they see it, when they walk away with the check, they're snickering. I hate that sucker's guts, but he just gave me $50,000 or $353,000 to eat with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can eat with somebody I hate for $353,000. Could you? So, hey, you know, it's all part of the game. So save the self-righteousness, okay?
Did you see, Christian, and again, reflecting back to Hillary on the Panama Papers the other day, They were talking about people whose names came up, and many of them had given money to guess who?
Surprise,
Hillary Clinton's
and the
foundation.
And the global initiative.
And I mean, the money was astronomical. Yeah. Imagine this is one fellow, it was like the Shargani family out of Nigeria. They gave over $500 million. $500 million? Are you kidding? And then there's the guy, and then the one I like is our Russian friends. You know, 20% of American uranium goes to Russia through Hillary's deal.
Yep.
I mean, don't you think it's quite obvious, which concerns me, that this could be blackmail, too. She gets into the presidency. These people know what went on.
Yep.
They know that if they called her out in front of the American people, she would be, maybe, impeached.
Oh, yeah.
So when you put a person like that into office, you walk into a brand new danger zone. And the media should be harping on all these relationships and warning the public what the major damage could be to us. It could be astronomical, or she just, does what Obama did and does an Iranian-type deal where she gets kickbacks and everything,
right.
And we, the American people, are at risk of death.
Like her husband, were it not for the fact that he was elected, or in this case, she, neither one of them could pass a security check, right?
Not a lie detector test, I assure you that.
They could not pass FBI screening.
Mm-hmm.
No way Bill Clinton could have gotten into the White House without special invitation, special privileges, or being elected. So, in other words, he couldn't work there, right, unless he were elected, because he could not pass a security check. Same thing for her. Were she not the first lady, were she not a senator, were she not an elected office or an appointed office like Secretary of State, she couldn't pass a security check. She still can't. And it's even worse now, right?
Oh, it's ten times worse in the last couple of years.
With this and with the FBI investigation, you think this woman could pass? You think she could get a job at the White House? I think not. But
they also pointed out, Chris, that
they did allow that guy Rick Ross in just last night. We'll talk about that
later.
They
also pointed out that $81 million came across from Swiss bank accounts into the Clinton Foundation. And remember, the Swiss bank accounts, it comes in without names. But, so now, again, they don't have to reveal. So they just take the money, no taxes paid. They live like kings. They pay very minimal out to the charities. They should pay out 90%. They paid out 10%. These are the most corrupt, rotten people I've ever seen in public office.
Well, and she's going to win big in New York tonight. Imagine that.
Isn't that unbelievable?
It is. It is. But this the Panama Papers story is really kind of still in its infancy, I believe.
I do, too. I believe when you get to the bottom of it, you're going to see these names appear again.
And the problem for the Clintons and the problem for the U.S. media is that it involves dignitaries and leaders from all over the world, from Saudi Arabia to Europe to Asia to India, you name an area of the world, and these people are tied up in this thing. So this story is going to have, as they say, legs to it. All right, real quick, some other poll numbers out going forward after tonight. Trump is up big in Pennsylvania, an average of about 20 points amongst the polls. In California, he's up an average of about 18 points. But once again, California is another screwy thing where you have to win in all, I think it's 153 congressional districts. That's where Cruz, it'll have his game going. In New Jersey, there's a new poll out in New Jersey. Trump, 52. Kasich, 24.
Wow.
Cruz, 18. Cruz is on, he's in danger of coming in, not just losing to Trump, but losing to Trump and Kasich, not just in New York, not just in New Jersey, perhaps also in Pennsylvania, perhaps also in Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Maryland. And that would be a bad streak for Mr. Cruz.
But it would also, Chris, be a bad streak for the mainstream Republicans, because he's done. If he does this.
Once again,
when I say done, I'm just saying his bargaining power is diminished.
Well, let's just say that, his strategy is second or third ballot. Trump's strategy is first ballot. We shall see who gets what they want.
All I have to say is Cruz has the most to lose. He needs to consider that when he goes responding to questions, would you be a vice presidential candidate? You don't have to say yes. You say no, but you say no in a classy way. That's my opinion anyway. Let's see. All right, so Trump's in control. He's going to have a big night. The only question is how big. Hillary and the Democratic Party are in control. They're going to have a big night. The only question is how big. All right, we'll take a break and come back on the other side. And we have got some contests coming up. And we're going to give you the rules and the details on the other side of this short break. Don't forget, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And we'll be right back. A man walks down the street. There goes Mike doing the Mexican hat dance over there. Where are those things that you click? The maracas?
Yeah, I know. Maracas. I used to go down to Cancun and the one next door to it. But in the old days, it was great. You know, all the college kids went there. It was a great time. And now, unfortunately, who knows what would happen when you're vacationing in Mexico. Yeah, I wouldn't be real excited.
Well, you don't have to go to Mexico to have a good time. Thanks.
That's for sure.
Especially for Cinco de Mayo. All right, because we're going to be doing a contest, a taco eating contest at the Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs. And you are all invited to come out. Now, if you want to be a contestant, We're looking for a couple, three more. We got the Predheads are coming out, right?
Yeah, we got a couple of them.
Yeah, and Dr. K is good for somebody from the Shriners or the Navy.
And, the Warriors?
Yeah, the Wounded Officers Initiative. And let's see, you got Taylor's coming out.
Taylor will be out there.
Yeah, one of our reigning champs.
Yeah, he was right in there.
Yeah, and so it's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, it's going to be on May the 5th. And the Tijuana Flats that we're talking about is the one in Winter Springs at the intersection of Tuscaloosa and 434. So it's real easy to find. And we're just going to be the start of the fun that night. Of course, we'll be there doing a live remote broadcast in which we will do the taco eating contest. Right. And then after we go off the air, they're going to have a live band, which is comprised of...
Oh, that's going to be really nuts.
Yeah,
that'll
Winter
be a
Springs
lot of fun.
Police officers.
Yeah. And then
playing rock and roll.
You know, having been in there, they have like a table, you know, with all levels of sauces. You
yes.
know, from mild to very, very right. hot, right?
Yeah. Now, we're not going to be putting very, very hot.
I can think of a few people I could punish. I mean, some of them are so hot.
I mean,
let's say if somebody's eating too much, we can whack him with a few. No. We'll end his day at the table quick.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to use similar rules that we've done at Cafe Positano, which, by the way, we're going to have another contest there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
A few weeks after the taco eating contest. So we got a lot of great stuff going on. Now, those are coming up. And, oh, real quick also, by the way, a great event coming up. And if you haven't gotten tickets for it yet, you better try to get them quickly because they may sell out. Like the Wounded Officers Initiative mm-hmm. dinner was a sellout the other night. And once again, I want to thank all you folks who came out for that the other night. Colonel Sanders.
You're a racist. He eats fried chicken, Chris.
I'm thinking of Bernie. But, no, Colonel Danny McKnight will be in on the show Thursday. And if you folks would like a chance to meet him and view the movie Black Hawk Down, which was made about him and the Ranger Battalion and the other, you know, the Delta Force guys and everybody who participated.
And you hear the inside story. This is what's so fabulous about it.
Exactly. And that mission in Somalia back in 1993, you'll be able to see the movie with Colonel McKnight and other members of Task Force Ranger. And you'll be able to do that on Saturday the 30th. And the doors will open at 6:30 p.m. The movie will begin at 7. They'll have an intermission. There will be question-answer period. The tickets are $25. You got to get them fast, though. And just go to Eventbrite and type in Black Hawk Down or that date, April the 30th, and look for Black Hawk Down, and you get your tickets right there. That's Eventbrite, Black Hawk Down. And this will be a sellout, so don't expect you're going to be able to walk up that night to the door and get a ticket and get in. There were VIP tickets, but they've long since been sold out.
Do you think there'll be many Hillary supporters there?
I don't think so. Kind of doubt it. But Black Hawk Down with Colonel Danny McKnight and members of Task Force Ranger, Saturday, April the 30th. You're invited. Tickets $25 each. Black Hawk Down at Eventbrite. All right. Now, of course, Thursday is going to be contest day around here. And
yeah, we like to get our listeners involved.
Mike has come up with another good one.
Well, this contest, and I think most of our people are knowledgeable individuals. They noticed that on the news just the other day, it was announced that only, and this is hard to believe, right? 6% of the public trusts the media. Boy, that's hard for me to believe.
Yeah, now, where are those 6% of the people got their heads,
the question is, where are you? No. But what we're doing is we're going to have you give us your choice of the most distrustful media personality out there and why. Now, my first selection, and everybody can, maximum of two, my first one will be Candy Cowley. And wait a second. No, it's Crowley, right? Not Cowley, right? It's Candy. And just the fact that what she did to Romney, she's not going to be forgiven by me. So I rate her as completely distrustful. And then the other one, this is too obvious. I'm embarrassed about this, but this is a guy that how anybody could trust is Al, you know, Flat Top Sharpton. You know what I mean? Imagine him. But here's a guy who owes the government $4.5 million, and they still put him on TV. Why don't they just, like, bust in the door like in a movie, you know, and have the Secret Service, you know, throw handcuffs on him and drag the guy away? I do not get this, right? But
that,
he's, those
that would
two,
be the Treasury
they're
department,
my two most distrusting media people. But I think we're going to have some great responses to this. Name the person and say why.
All right, so that will be Thursday. Which media person do you think is the most distrustful and why?
And what do we get if I win?
$20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano. We got some more bumper stickers, including Liar, Liar, Pantsuit on Fire.
Right.
And we might even throw in a My Liberty Threads t-shirt. All right.
That's a good package. Yeah. Very good.
And, oh, yes, and the book, The Bible and Immigration, written by Steve Gushaw.
That was
we'll throw
very
in a
good
copy
yeah.
of that, too.
We got to print up some bumper stickers, Crooked Hillary.
Crooked Hillary.
I mean, these are just right to the point.
Crooked Hillary for prison.
Yeah, that's even better. And that's like a hybrid of what we got. Yeah, that would be great.
It is indeed. We'll go to work on that. All right, and we're going to have to take a break here in just a couple of minutes. Real quickly, though.
And Chris, you know, on this taco eating contest, anybody listening who would like to enter, remember those remember the father son and the son from UCF
who won the spaghetti eating contest.
Right, he wiped us out, I think, or he came in second
in the pizza contest.
He was strong, but and they were listeners, and didn't the father come in and do it with the son?
No, he came in with a sign and cheered the son.
Oh, he just cheered him on.
And sign said something like, "Imagine having to feed this kid every night," or something
oh,
like
yeah.
that.
I was a little concerned when he wanted some take-home pizza, though, for his kids. So. That's right. Anybody in the audience you want to play, it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. So that will be Thursday. And don't forget Cinco de Mayo at Tijuana Flats, and you're, of course, invited to that. And then Black Hawk Down on April the 30th. That will be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see in this movie with the people that the movie was made about and hear them remark about the events. So you are invited to all of those things, and we certainly hope we will see you. Okay, and don't forget, you can participate in tonight's poll if you have downloaded the free app into your smart device. And the question is, who is going to come in second tonight? We'll give you an update on the other side of the break. But who's going to come in second tonight in the GOP contest in New York? It's pretty clear Bernie Sanders will come in second on the Dem side. Once again, the question on that side is, how big will Hillary win tonight? Crooked Hillary it is. All right, we'll be right back because the clock is ticking down on me. I see all these crooked numbers. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show.
Roll on a honey.
where we're going with you and you're going with us. We really appreciate you being out there. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. Back in the studio tonight, back from UCF, the UCF campus. I just want to say that back when I was going to school out at UCF back in the early 80s, and then again in the early 90s, I studied philosophy and political science because I had designs initially on being a lawyer, right? And I didn't take... I know, that's what I started saying more and more as I got more and more into it. And I was good at it, though. I must say this. It frustrated the kids who were actually in the pre-law courses
Chris,
out there.
You do not lie enough, and you can't lie with a straight face, so I'm not sure you'd be very effective.
They were so frustrated that I could read just, you know, judges' opinions and make sense out of them, and they couldn't, right?
Well, that's funny.
It's because judges write like philosophers. Mm-hmm. You know, they say they use 1,000 words that you could say pretty much the same thing in 10, right? So anyway, I could wade through it real good. But the closer I got to it, the more I realized I didn't either have what it took or didn't really want to be a lawyer, right? So then I thought, well, you know, I got all this school, and maybe I'll go on and get a PhD and be a college professor. And then I, you know, started kind of snooping around and seeing how the politics plays in, you know, at the university level. So I kind of discounted that.
Yeah, that's how.
After being on the campus for a little while yesterday, I'm beginning to think maybe I should have thought a little bit more about that. Let's just leave it at that, okay?
Do you think, though, UCF, and I told you my experience with my son in graduate school there, that he said point blank, and he's very aware of the political situation, he said the professors in his graduate school were completely on the conservative side.
Yeah.
He had one guy that was a flaming liberal.
Yeah.
And he said, but the others were, and he said they had, like, this one fellow was a PhD from Michigan who was number one in his class.
Yeah.
And, you know, he taught, we'll say, math-oriented finance.
Yeah.
And he said the guy was outstanding. But he said this guy really leaned to the right. And it's nice to see that because but remember, they are on the business school type.
Yeah.
If you're ever going to find them, if they're not there, God help you.
Yeah, you're not going to find them in the
I was going to say, if they're not there, we're all in trouble. Yeah, they're not going to be in. I don't think so.
All right, but anyway, I want to thank you folks for tuning into the debate. Got a lot of remarks about it, and I thank you for all of those. And we had a little fun doing it. So,
Chris, you did a good job. I mean, I wasn't sure when I turned on the radio, I thought this was about as good as I've heard on the moderator side. Not on the side of your client.
You did a great job. We gave them a little flexibility on the clock.
Yeah.
You know, these guys were, they're not, you know, career politicians. Both
no,
of these
fellows. You could tell that.
We're new to politics. So we allowed, I got a little stricter at the end because we were running out of time, but we allowed a little bit of extra time there. But, you know, we asked the audience to hold their applause. They were good about that.
They held it permanently.
No, you know, they stuck around for the whole show. Over 150 students there.
And that's great that you have students there, and they are from the Republican Club.
Not all of them.
Not all, but I think that's very impressive to me.
And
any protesters outside?
No, we didn't see any protesters.
Really?
No protesters.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was, you know, real civil about it. Everybody seemed to come away with what they came there for. I hope you listeners did as well. You at least now know these two candidates, and you now know something about them, which will help you make a decision when the primary for this Senate seat comes up in August. Okay, so there are about a half a dozen Republicans registered right now. There's a fellow running ads on television who's not even, at least last check over the weekend, wasn't even registered with the state to be a candidate, I presume.
Is he running for the Republican? I look at his ads. He doesn't show the party.
No, he's running on the Republican side.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
And all of them were invited. And
So they all were.
They all were. Representative Jolly and Representative DeSantis, who are running,
right,
were both in Washington, D.C. They
couldn't make it. The lieutenant governor, who's running, was on his way or had just gotten back from Israel, so he couldn't make it. The two that did were invited, of course. And then the others that didn't show, well, they were AWOL.
Did they not show because they just didn't want to show?
They that evidently so.
They had a cold?
Well, we don't know that. But the reason we went ahead without more candidates is because it was being hosted by the UCF Republicans, and they've been over backwards trying to get as many candidates, all of them there. A couple of them offered to do it by telephone. We said no, please, can't do that.
Yeah.
If you can't be there, you can't be in the debate.
Sorry.
But they had to be done because the semester's up this week. I mean, they're in finals week.
Everybody's gone.
So, in essence, the window would have been closed.
Chris, we did it,
and we got the experience now, and hopefully we can have the opportunity to do it again.
One question on the national scene. And I honestly believe that. Well, you know all the polls we have and everything. Every day there's a poll in this.
Yeah, well, I got another one
right here. Geez, here we go. But I really wonder when this is over in November, if they took a poll out and asked the American people, how long do you want these primaries to go on? You know what? I'm burnt out, meaning I would like to see them go on from January through November, meaning the whole system, the whole voting from where you elect your guy, you run against.
The primary and the general.
Well,
in
election.
Essence, that's where it is now.
But
I mean, the voting starts.
But it's getting to the point where a guy gains a win, and then he slows up. It's like at 9:02 tonight, we'll know who won because they'll come in and do their projection, and then we waited 2 weeks, and in 2 minutes they go, well, and based on the projection, so-and-so won. Boring.
We'll know who won, but they've sort of written some drama into the script because...
That'll take time to determine.
By the way, while we're back on that subject, real quick, Nostradamus just schooled me on the California situation. They have 53 congressional districts, but there will be two delegates in each district that will have to be voted on individually.
Oh.
All right. And plus, there are some at large.
Yeah.
So it can be more complicated. And I think that's what your fatigue is really a result of, is this overly complicated, overly convoluted process, which was designed. Whether Cruz is following the rules or not is beside the point. And he clearly is. Mm-hmm. He's clearly not doing anything outside the rules. What he is doing, though, is in essence not outsmarting Trump as much as he is outsmarting the party. Because the reason that these rules are as they are is so that the party can control the process more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the people at the state level who are the main players in all this. Now, what the party didn't really count on was that a guy like Cruz is going to come along and be clever enough to figure that you can go in, meaning him, can go in there and manipulate this, let's just put it this way, massage the process to favor him. When in fact, it was put there to prevent people like him and Trump from being able to work their way through the whole process, you see? So in essence, Cruz has more so outsmarted the Republican establishment than he has outsmarted Trump. But at the end of the day, and this is once again Trump's strategy, and that is to go to the convention with the required number of delegates. If he does, all that hard work by Ted Cruz, all that anti-Trump stuff by the party will be for naught. Now, having said that, Mitch the Poodle McConnell.
I know, Mr. Electricity.
Mr. Electricity himself.
Yep. Swinging guy.
Has said that he is, get this, and I quote, optimistic that there will be a second ballot at the convention. So what he is saying is that he is optimistic that the party will be able to ace out Donald Trump. Now, here's the problem for them. Even if he doesn't come to the convention with 1237, he's going to walk in with at least 1,100. And these are very conservative estimates. He will come in with at least 1,100 delegates. Very good chance he will come in with very close to 1,200 or slightly over. And these, once again, are if everything doesn't go his way. If everything does go his way, he will come in with 1,237. So he still comes in real close. And they are optimistic that they can ace him out. And after the first ballot, a number of those delegates will fall away because they are Cruz people. After the second ballot, more of them will fall away because they are Cruz people. And if there is a third ballot, even more of them will fall away. That's the requirement in Florida. You have to stay committed for three ballots. After the third ballot, even more will fall away.
And so will your future voters.
Now, the problem for Cruz is some of these who have said that they would support him may end up turning around and bushwhacking him, right?
Right.
Because at the end of the day, these people are still
party-oriented,
party loyalists and party insiders. All right.
I just hope all this can be cleaned up once this thing is over. I don't know if they will do that because it's state by state and no one wants to give their position if they're a big shot in the party. But I think the American public in general is really fed up because it's too detailed for the guy that say, hey, I'm voting for Ted Cruz. I want my vote to count like everybody else's.
I think at this point, and this is my opinion, that the only way now to clean up this, let's just say, disparity within the Republican
Disgusting
Party.
Disgusting mess is what I
yes,
call it.
Yes, disparity is not the right word. Mm-hmm. Discord within the Republican Party would be for Trump to win big on out.
And that could clean a lot of it up.
It would clean it up.
But they still have to go back after this is over and do something. Well, you know, if they want to keep
For this system, I think so, yes. That this is too convoluted. And by the way, the National Party already does set down some guidelines and requirements. That's why in Wyoming they decided to do it the way that they did it, so that they would not have to comply with party requirements that if you hold a caucus or primary or straw poll, that then those delegates have to be bound, or some portion of them at least, has to be bound for some period of time. They didn't want to do that. So the National Party can set down guidelines that each state, they already set down guidelines that each state has to comply with. They could be even more forceful, shall we say, if they wanted to streamline the process. But again, that defeats the whole purpose of having a convoluted process, which is what they want. You see, this is what we want. What they want is what exists,
right?
Because it is more easily, if not manipulated, certainly massaged. The problem for them now is that Ted Cruz has revealed that it's kind of like you can beat the house, and here's how.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. It's like counting cards. You can beat the house, and here's how. So now they're going to have to come up with a whole new set of house rules. But don't worry. They're working on that right now. And we got to work on a break, and we'll come back right after this, and we'll give you an update on today's poll question. Who's going to come in second tonight on the GOP side? Will it be Trump? Will it be Cruz? Will it be John Case of the Itches Kasich? We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, it's a jungle out there. We'll help you hack your way through it. We are the American Adversaries. 407-774-8255 is the number. One last poll real quick, then we'll move on a little bit. SurveyMonkey weekly tracking poll they do along in conjunction with NBC. Trump, this is a national poll. Trump, 46. Cruz, 28. He fell another 2 points. Kasich picked up another 3 to 19. Trump, by the way, stayed even in this poll. He stayed flat from the week before when he actually took a huge jump up.
All right. And real quick, don't forget on Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th, coming up here in just a couple of weeks, we're going to be doing a live remote broadcast at the Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs. We're going to be holding another contest, a taco eating contest this time. You are invited. And if you'd like to be in the contest, just call the show number here, 407-774-8255, and Nick LoCicero will set you right up.
We got a band and everything coming?
Yeah, there's going to be five members of the Winter Springs Police Department are going to be playing in some classic rock music after we go
off
the air.
So they're not going to be dressed up in Mexican outfits or anything?
I don't know. Maybe they will be. I don't know. We shall see. So you folks
should be a lot of fun.
That'll
be great. We'll have a good time with that.
These eating contests are always a lot of fun. Be similar rules. 15 minutes. How much can they eat in 15 minutes? Okay. And then, of course, Thursday, we got our regular contest. Mike's come up with another good one.
Yeah, no, I think this one, last week, we had a very good response. And this week, it's going to be somewhat in that line. We know yesterday that the news came out, and they announced that about 6% of the public, the media, has trust in the media. Yeah. 6% has trust in the media, right? Well, I don't believe it's that high.
So right, exactly.
What we're asking you to do is give us your choice of the most distrustful media national personality. Now, you got to leave Chris and me out of this.
Okay, now. No, you don't.
Chris and myself should be going somewhere else. But my two choices, just to give you an example, I would choose Candy Cowley. Oh, wait a second. It's Crowley. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of that big cow.
Right.
But what she did to Romney will never be forgiven on my part.
Yeah.
I think that was just horrendous, and that was a perfect example of not trusting the media.
Yep.
The other one was obvious, is, you know, Al Flat Top Sharpton. You know, this is a guy who he owes $4.5 million to the public, in essence, you know, in taxes.
Taxes, that's right.
And how can you put him on jail? He should be doing one of these FBI stories where they come in and just slap the things on his and take him out. You know, but these are my two. But we're looking for some really good examples of total distrust of the media. And I think you got a lot to choose from. So
you certainly do. That is a fact. All right. I want to get to a little friends like these story here in just a minute. But Al is on the line. Let's take his phone call first. Al, thank you for calling in tonight. We really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm trying to figure out, are Republicans more afraid of Bernie or they're more afraid of Hillary winning the nomination?
Well, let's just put it this way. I think that they would rather run against Hillary. All right? And I think the reason for that is she has so much baggage. And she, I think, in that sense, would be easier to beat. But I don't think they would mind running against Bernie, but I just think that they have the goods on Hillary, so to speak. That's just my opinion. That's the general notion I get anyway.
Well, that explains why Republicans, the pop heads and all, don't attack Hillary as much as they are attacking their own, like Ted Cruz or Kasich or whatever.
Well, right now they are spending a lot of time doing just that, and much to my chagrin. But, yeah, I think actually that they want to run against Hillary. And as a matter of fact, I think the safety for them also this. They look at it this way, too, Al. If Trump or Cruz gets the nomination, I think they would just as soon Hillary win the presidency. Okay? And so if I think their thinking is, if we're going to lose, if we have to lose, we would rather lose to Hillary than to Bernie. And believe it or not, I believe that that is a big part of the answer to your question.
All right. Well, good job on the show last night.
All right. Thank you, Al. We appreciate your call. Thank you for being out there.
You know,
do. I think that's what it is. I think that they would rather have Hillary Clinton as president than either Trump or Cruz. And this is why I think Cruz needs to think long and hard about.
I agree. I mean, and when I think of Trump going against Hillary, though, you know, obviously Don Trump has personality flaws, we'll call it. I'll be kind with that. Hillary has moral flaws. Well, who would you vote for?
That's
somebody who is morally bankrupt, or some guy might call you a name or something like this. It's like, get over it. I mean, this is a lady that I can't believe she's allowed out into the public, that people don't throw garbage on her and everything like in the old days. I mean, look what this lady has done to America along with Obama.
Well, that's a very good distinction that you've made there, I believe.
Yeah, it's personality flaw, which means nothing, versus a morally flawed, bad person.
And I would say that holds true for both Cruz and Trump.
I mean, Cruz is,
he's got his quirks.
Good guy. It's just his
He's got his quirks.
Personality.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Right.
It's okay.
But see, we can live with that.
Right.
What we can't live is with the moral flaws with Hillary.
Putting crooks in the White House.
But the Republican establishment is prepared to do just that. And it is absolutely ridiculous.
And you know the other thing? Every time you see that national poll, it is done by the New York Times, CBS, New York Times, whatever.
Survey Monkey, NBC.
But I wonder if they're calling the same 392 people. You know what I mean? It just doesn't,
they're not
just
supposed
doesn't
to be.
Match
they're
up
not supposed to be, but you always have to wonder. Speaking of polls, Nick, do you have enough time to give us an update on our poll, the question for today, who's going to come in second on the GOP side tonight?
I sure do. Let me pull that up. It looks like Kasich's at 60%, and once again, Trump and Cruz split the other part of it, 20-20.
Wow. Okay, interesting results. All right, Matt's on the line. We'll take his call after the break, and please stay with us. You'll need that smart device or listen to us on AM 660 The Answer.
Welcome back. I'm Mike McBath. I'm here with Christopher Hart. And Chris, I want to congratulate you on how well you did last night. You were better than the moderators that are on TV all the time.
Well,
I mean, the questions you ask, I mean, you stripped these people down verbally the way they should be, and now we know who should run for what.
And, well, the whole idea was to get down to what these guys felt on certain issues and let them talk. You know, either they were going to talk themselves.
You know, it's that old story, they talk too much and they hang themselves.
I was going to say, either they talk themselves into a job or out of a job,
right.
One or the other.
Right.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Matt is on the line. Matt, thank you for holding during the break. We appreciate you being out there.
Oh, thanks, guys. I have a legal question for you because I'm not a lawyer. I just play one on TV, but I have asked two of my friends who are lawyers, and one said he had no opinion, and one said that there could be a possibility of this. So I was wondering if any of you had thought about this. What if instead of waiting for this Department of Justice to press charges, if the FBI were to make a recommendation for that, because we all know Obama signaled that they weren't going to do that, what if the local DA in Hillary's home district actually pressed charges? Because I looked into it, and this guy used to be a high-profile prosecutor, and he's also very conservative.
Well, the problem is he is only charged with prosecuting state and local crimes.
Well, right. I understand that. Okay. But from the perspective of – and this is where, since I'm not a lawyer, I wouldn't know. But I would imagine if she's getting any kind of service provided to that connection, right? That's local utility and, locally administered in any way. Seems like that could, fall under that jurisdiction. I just don't know enough. It
right.
seems like
that would probably be a question that a judge would end up deciding, because much of law.
Like in this situation, this is my last point. It's frustrating because here we are supposed to be able to entrust our DOJ to act non-politically.
Right.
And our president has already told them to act politically. And as a citizen, whether this is Republican, if this were a Republican president or whoever, it's the same frustration.
Well, in essence, that's what Nixon was being impeached over. And of course, that ain't going to happen this time around,
right?
Even if this guy didn't just have a few months left, this Congress didn't have the wherewithal to do it.
Well, they won't be able
will.
To bring it to the floor anyway because they got to get to 60.
Yeah, but to get back to your question, there's it's sort of two sided. The one is the legal question. The other is more the political question. Would a state or local prosecutor do this, even if he legally could? And I kind of doubt it. Now, having said that,
he would make a name for himself.
Okay, well, now having said that, let me put it this way.
What the FBI is investigating so far has been mostly the email stuff. Okay.
Right.
What they may have tripped into, and this is something Mike has been talking about on the show for months, is that her real problem revolves around the foundation. And the email stuff may have allowed the FBI to get into the foundation stuff. Now, the foundation stuff could very well, a local state prosecutor could go after that because she could have been violating state law,
There could be security laws in there,
exactly,
too.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay? Yeah. Like Spitzer was doing up there when he was a prosecutor in New York.
So if the DA were to do that, would the state attorney general then have to give it the final blessing before they went ahead with the charges, or could the DA, I guess the DA could probably charge right there. They wouldn't have to wait for the attorney general to do anything, right? I'm sure that's a Democrat. I don't know.
That probably varies from state to state.
Yeah. Okay.
And you would have to be a lawyer in that state probably, or very well versed in law to answer that question.
So I don't know.
But
thanks, guys. I was just, it was one of those things that actually just popped into my head, and I was like, well, maybe these guys will know. And
yeah,
just thought I'd throw it out there to see if you guys had heard anything about that. Or
right.
But
and
that, it.
Now, I'll say this, too.
I think it's a good thought, but it is.
I don't like
to see it happen. But.
And if it's the foundation that it ends up all the legal problems revolving around, she could actually be charged in both the state and the federal level.
Well, that'd be the best thing to happen in a long time.
Well, I do believe, Matt, the foundation aspect is where they're ultimately going to get her. And it's a case that's going to probably take longer. But even this Panama Papers now, they're starting to kick up people who were contributors, here we go, to the foundation. And I'm talking about huge money, $25 million, $50 million, $100 million. And what this woman did, all she did was sell influence. She wasn't working for the American people. She was just touring through the Middle East, picking up clients. Bill would follow up a couple months later, and then all of a sudden the money would appear.
Influence may have actually
exploited an earthquake as well, guys. I mean, if you have the time, you need to do the research on this. It's amazing.
Oh yeah,
money out of the Haiti earthquake.
Matter of fact, we've done stories on that on Sunday nights. We haven't done one for quite a while, but I know I did it talked about it several times on Sunday nights last year. Yeah. That the money that went down there, and there are these half-finished projects.
Just terrible.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
All that was an image creation so they could, again, keep the money, what is it? Her girlfriend, Clinton's daughter, she gets $600,000 a year from Chelsea.
Yeah. Mm. But the final response to your initial question is state and local authorities right now are not going to touch this until the DOJ gets finished doing whatever it is they're going to do. So,
yeah, we know they're not going to speed up on that anytime soon. It's just frustrating to watch from the sidelines. Anyway, you guys have a nice night.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate you calling. Thanks for being out there.
You must love the name Crooked Hillary, right?
Crooked Hillary.
Matt would be a big advocate, and he probably, those bumper stickers, Crooked Hillary, could go big.
Remember, we were wondering just a few weeks ago what he would tag her with.
Yeah,
I believe I asked, well, what is he going to call Hillary ultimately, right?
I think he's landed on a great one. He might have won the bumper sticker contest
with a statement like that. It's perfect.
Very
all
nice.
Right, and we had a caller, Bill, on the line. We couldn't stay on, but he wanted to know how people are chosen for these political polls.
Theoretically, though, Chris, you're supposed to do it randomly. Theoretically.
Within certain groups. Like, for instance, sometimes the poll is, like the SurveyMonkey poll, is a national poll of Republican registered voters.
Right.
Sometimes they go to any voter. Sometimes they go to likely voters within a party. Then it is supposed to be random, okay? So they're not chosen by name or person so much as they are what particular voting category that they might fall into. So I hope that answered his question.
Have you actually been called by a poll, Chris, yourself?
Oh, yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I seldom participate. And then that's
you won't answer?
Well, that's part of the problem they have nowadays.
Because people are afraid they're giving out information don't know who?
And plus, they're only supposed to be calling home landlines. And how many people still maintain
that's very true. Home You're right.
landlines? I mean, how many survey calls have you ever gotten on your cell phone?
I don't think any of myself.
Right. You get them at home.
Right.
Okay. Now, they may eventually end up changing that rule because that is beginning to sort of skew results. However, so far this year, they have seemed to be fairly accurate. There have been a few surprises, but all in all, the polls have been pretty accurate.
What I always love is I've had a Democratic pollster call me, and I love it. They go, well, Mr. McMahon, from 1 to 10, how would you rate Hillary's personality? And I always love it when they go 1 to 10. I go, do you have any on the minus side, like minus 5 or minus 6? And the guy's like, bro, what are you talking about?
Maybe I should start participating. I say, well, yeah,
I honestly can't wait till I pick the phone up hoping it is a pollster so I can whack them into oblivion. You know?
I've been looking at this all wrong.
It's a great conversation.
You know, earlier in the show, we were talking about how Bill Clinton could have never got a job in the White House if he hadn't been elected, and same with Hillary, because he couldn't pass the security check. Well, did you see where Obama was holding this, I forget what it was called. It was a meeting.
Seance?
Yeah, something like that. But it was a meeting with some hip-hop artists and some other entertainers, and it was supposed to be about, like, responsibility, fatherhood.
This is going to be funny.
That stuff. And one of the guys that was there was a fellow by the name of Rick Ross, who I've never heard of.
I don't know.
But evidently he's a pretty popular hip-hop artist. And
I definitely would not know him.
Right after Obama finished speaking, during a moment when there was hardly much noise going on in the room, Rick Ross's ankle bracelet went off.
Oh, is that funny?
Do you know what it is?
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what it is. That is really funny.
This isn't bling, right?
I think this is great.
This is not bling. This is like a gold bracelet.
Yeah.
This was an ankle bracelet that he was wearing because he had been bailed out of jail.
You got it. I understand.
Forget this. Kidnapping. It's like a domestic.
Chris, that's
gangsters.
A minor crime this day and age. He was probably the release under the Obama release program.
The thing started chirping. I didn't know what these things. I'd never had. I wear one.
You've never worn one?
No. I haven't had the occasion yet. Anyway, but I guess in this particular, I think here in Florida they stopped doing it or something like that. In Orange County.
Really?
I remember seeing a story.
And this was in the White
House?
I mean, he actually got.
In the White House.
I mean, there was nothing that picked it up when he walked through the door or anything like that?
Evidently that, or because he was on the guest list, he could go in anyway.
And the thing went off.
So, it, of course, caused a very embarrassing moment for Mr. Ross and the president. Highly contrary to the subject matter of the conference there.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Here's a criminal
like
speaking
these.
On.
Friends like these. Who needs enemies, right? All right, we got another caller on the line. Bob is up next. Bob, thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, I just got back to the radio. I haven't really been listening tonight. Did you guys talk about there was a lady on one of the other talk programs the other day, and she was saying how she is the member of the Republican Party. And those people are the ones who are going to decide who's going to be the nominee. That's people who are like you and me, the everyday people. It's just that she had the attitude that the uppity-ups of the party were the ones who were going to make the final decision as far as who's going to be the nominee for president.
Well,
no matter how we elected, no matter how we voted.
Well, we didn't talk about that today, but we have talked about it at various times. I guess we kind of talked around it a little bit today. But yeah, the delegates and the people who are choosing the delegates are state party officials for the most part. They are also party volunteers and others who are rewarded. This is sort of their bone for giving their time or their money to the party. And the way they see it, it's their party. It's like an exclusive club. And we're allowed to visit, but we're not allowed to stay. You kind of get what I'm saying here? We're allowed to think like we can go there, but we really aren't, allowed to stay. And so
the radio commentator was saying, the people who vote are the people, that's what the party is. And she kept trying to contradict them, saying, no, it's the upper, the upper crust,
well,
the upper elite.
That's what I'm saying. The upper crust, the elite, actually relies on the rest of the party because that's where their money and their support all come from. But the way they see it, it's their party. And you're if you are a member in the Republican Party, you're not necessarily in the elite. And it's kind of like a club where you can only go in so far, but you can't go in the back where all the real fun happens. And that's why I say, you know, we're invited, but we can't really stay. You know, we can come and we can vote. We can give them money. We can register as Republicans. We can even go out and campaign for them, put bumper stickers on our car. But unless we're a little bit more than that, we're not allowed to participate in the real choosing process. And that's,
I feel like I'm one of the nerds from the Animal House movie.
That's kind of
that's
it.
The type of guy I like. He knows Animal House.
Well, that's a good way to look at it. It is, and they just they feel like it's their party, and they have to tolerate us because they need our money.
but Chris, though, in the primaries, though, once they hit a certain level of delegates, though, then it really isn't their party because based upon the rules like Trump, 1,200 and whatever.
37.
Once he gets it, he doesn't need those people.
Well, see, this is where we have we have a unique opportunity this time.
To eliminate the big
all
shots.
All of this is now out in the open, see, and we have an opportunity with Trump to override all this nonsense. And perhaps
hopefully
that will happen.
It comes about, right?
We did our part here in Florida. We'll see what happens.
We did a great part. And we'll tonight at about 9:02, we'll have our projected winner.
In New York. But yeah, you're right. And we have talked about this, and we'll continue to talk about it more. And it is a problem, not just for the Republicans, Bob, but for the Democrat, even more so for the Democrat side. It's just not as obvious right now because of what's going on the Republican side. But Bernie Sanders is getting burned, too, and all of his – and the Democratic voters are getting burned as well.
He really seems, number-wise, delicate-wise, getting burned even worse than
– than Trump.
Yeah. I mean, it really seems that way.
Yeah, because of their convoluted way of doing things.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's even more convoluted than the Republican side.
Which is good, because that'll really alienate those people from voting for Hillary.
I think you're right.
I think that'll be a positive.
All right, Bob, thanks for the call. Thanks for the observations. Hopefully we answered your questions. Okay, we'll take a break and come back with more of the American Adversaries and have our final poll tally for tonight. So please don't go away.
Start spreading the news. I'm
leaving this town. I like Frank Sinatra. He's the man of the times. Hey, Nick, you're going to have to get me a sing-along booklet, will you? I mean, I'm singing, and Nick is moving his head in disgust, Chris.
Put some lyrics up on the screen here.
But isn't he great? He does represent New York. Song is the song of songs.
New York.
Again, Chris, I got to congratulate you for last night. You did a fabulous job at the UCF Forum.
Yeah,
your questioning was right on the mark. And I think we helped find some individuals that might struggle a little bit to be elected. So we'll see.
I think we might have identified that, yes. All right.
We detected.
Yeah, thank you for being out there. We'll get to our final poll tally here in just a couple of minutes. Diane is on the line. Let's take Diane's phone call right now. Diane, thank you for being out there.
You.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Yeah, last night's show was grueling.
Look at her. Grueling.
That's a good way to describe it. Thank you.
But you did an awesome job, and so did Dr. K.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
The other two, not so much.
Yeah. I kind of got that that response pretty regularly today.
Well, Diane should have been out in the audience.
We were frustrated.
I know, but hey, that's part of the process.
It absolutely is.
Now our audience knows more about those two guys than
anybody
else
in the world.
That's right. And you can focus on somebody else.
I'm a Ron DeSantis guy.
And we're working on getting him on the show. And
he's amazing.
As a matter of fact, he wanted bad to be in the debate. They called and they really wanted to be there, and we're sorry they couldn't be there last night.
Emailed him even and said, "Yo, dude, why aren't you coming?"
But he was in Washington, D.C., so he had a good excuse. But yeah, he's a real strong conservative guy.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he is.
Who is that guy, though, Chris, that's running TV ads? He doesn't really show a party. The ad is actually reasonably good. I was watching it, and I'm thinking, you know, this guy has a good little story, but I don't see Republican or Democrat on the ad unless he plans to, like, that's his big surprise.
I can't think of his name. I believe it starts with a B. I cannot think of his name. But we didn't invite him because as of, and we had, of course, sent the invitations out weeks ago. But we continue to follow up to see if anybody else was registering with the Department of State, which you have to do here in Florida to be a candidate. And as of last check, which was, I believe, Friday, he was not registered with the Department of State.
And he's running all these TV ads.
They started over the weekend.
Wow.
So perhaps he is registered now. I don't know. But anyway, thank you, Diane. But
the reason I'm calling is I had a call a few months ago from some big wig in the Republican Party here in Florida.
Yeah.
And he wanted money, and he wanted me to be an upstanding citizen in the Republican Party. And we had a back and forth for quite a while. And I told him, look, I'm only giving my money to Ted Cruz and not the Republican Party.
Good
Never
for
will
you.
Again.
Good for you.
So, I agree.
yes, sir.
A couple few days after that, I got a letter denouncing me as out of the Republican Party.
No. They discommunicated you.
Well, you didn't send any money in, Diane. What would you expect?
You should have sent a note back. Thank God Almighty, free at last.
Well, I wouldn't do that because I would have had to put a stamp on it.
That's unbelievable that they would send them a letter.
They weren't worth a stamp to you. I like that.
Wow.
Yeah. That's, I mean, they talk about arrogance.
Oh, that is horrible.
Was evil. He was an awful man.
He was an awful man.
I love the fact that, Cruz has outsmarted the establishment. Everybody's focusing on how he's outsmarted Trump with these delegates and stuff, and he has. But in my opinion,
no, he did the establishment.
That's what I mean. He has outsmarted the establishment on this, and he has really caught them off guard. And I'm just loving it. I just really am.
I am.
I know. This campaign's got a little bit of everything.
It's
so
nuts.
It is.
I'm so glad when it's over. Oh my
God. I am. And then that guy calls you again. Reference him over here. I'd be happy to talk with him.
I would love to, but he will never talk to me again. I gave him an earful.
That is the worst I ever heard of. They sent her a letter, get lost.
We might have already run into him in the course of doing this show and not know it.
That's what you get for answering your host phone.
Okay. Mm. All right, Diane. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Guys.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
That is funny. Well, you're not giving me money. Send him a letter. Hey, get lost. You're not part of the party anymore. Thanks. Don't call me either.
And they wonder why they have problems.
That's horrible.
They wonder why they lose elections. I mean,
I can't even believe you would put a guy like that into any position, you know?
Well, unfortunately, they're there, and they're all too
We had to reference him to the
common.
Democratic Party. He'd fit in perfect with one of Hillary's solicitors.
Oh, boy, that's right. Hey, guy, E-I-E-I-O. All right, before we go, run out of time completely, Nick LoCicero, can you give a final tally on our poll tonight? Who do our listeners think will come in second tonight?
I don't know. They seem to really think Kasich is going to come in second. But then he has 72% of the vote for our pollers. Ted Cruz finally pulled ahead of Trump there. Cruz is at 20%, and Trump is at 8%.
8%. All right.
Yeah.
It's starting to shake out.
It's starting to come in line. Yeah.
My money's on Cruz for a second, though.
You think so?
Yeah, he's just got such a good ground
game. Kasich really never spent much time there.
Yeah.
I mean, relative to what he could have.
Well, let's put it this way.
Because he didn't have any money.
See, the question perhaps we should have maybe been a little more careful, because there's two ways to look at this. Mm-hmm. There is the overall vote. And then there's the delegate count, right? Cruz could actually come in third in the overall vote and second in the delegate count. So we'll see what happens tonight. Thank you, Nick. We really appreciate that.
And so, Chris, you don't think then the delegate count will not be able to be calculated till all the votes are in?
Right.
They actually because they go count by
eight. It'll be late tonight. It'll be late tonight before we'll know about the delegate count. I could see a scenario where – Trump wins overall, he wins big.
But doesn't get.
And Kasich comes in second, but Cruz comes away with more delegates than Kasich because he went to the right precinct.
Just right. He was out there working the right spots.
He knew which congressional district where he could actually make a difference. That's where he went, and we'll see if it pays off for him. All right. Okay, mm-hmm. that's about going to do it for tonight. But don't forget, Thursday, our contest is, who do you think is the most untrustworthy?
I mean, think of the selection. We've given them a vast selection of people. Just pick somebody in the media that you absolutely want to lambaste.
And why are they most distrustful? And then, of course, don't forget Cinco de Mayo at Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs. And if you feel spunky,
yeah, get in the eating part of it. Unlimited tacos for 15 minutes, of course.
How much taco can you eat in 15 minutes? And they're big ones at Tijuana Flats.
Oh, boy.
They're not those little three-bite jobs, right?
Yep, that's for sure.
All right, well, we're all out of time tonight. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow night with election results hot off the presses from New York, New York. Thank you so much. Night, everybody.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. The official radio station of Decision.